We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Mully and Hall, mornings live at 5 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
You know, I felt like I kind of mentioned this morning that I went through some really, really weird stages through this whole process, like depression, thinking that, you know, did I do something wrong? You know, how could I put my family, you know, in that kind of situation? But, you know, it obviously affects people differently. And if my story and my journey through this helps one person, you know, realizes how severe this can get, and if that saves one life, then I want my story to be heard.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to the Score. That was Tommy Hadovy yesterday in a Zoom call after with the Chicago media. I think there were some national media members after we had a conversation with him in the morning, and whoever put that together, a little Juice WRLD in the background, just makes me sad to hear Lucid Dreams. It just tears me up a little bit, that poor kid, and what a waste, what a talented guy. But anyway, David, just listening again to what Tommy Hadovy had to say and the reasons behind it makes you like him even more. You know, the what he went through, and obviously the difficulty in sharing that story and letting people know. But an important story to get out, because I don't know if people understand how serious this is. And certainly Tommy knows, and the people around him would have a very good idea. And I would imagine that it will be a cautionary tale for the Cubs. I would imagine people will listen to that and hear that, and they will be very careful.
Yeah, think about spending 30 days in a bedroom alone, essentially, with only access to kind of leaving when everyone else is sleeping and sitting outside by yourself, and the isolation. And as he acknowledged, the word that he used was a depression. And I think that was a stem from maybe the anxiety and maybe the guilt that he described. It was not necessarily, you know, a rational feeling to feel guilty, but it's natural to feel like, okay, what did I do to put my young family at risk and under this kind of duress? That he's got an 8-year-old and a 6-year-old, and his wife Andrea would clean up after him until 2 a.m. And just to hear him describe it in the detail that he did, it does. If people who didn't know, you know, who Tommy Hadovy was before yesterday, I think that they have a newfound awareness and respect for what he went through and what he stands for. And he shared this not to bring attention to himself. That was the one thing that he was maybe he was careful. He did not want this to be all about him. This is seeming like it will be all about him, but I think it's a broader message that he's trying to send, is that it's about you. Who you if you're reading about it for the first time in one of the papers this morning or hearing about it on our show yesterday, it's about you doing what you need to do to take this seriously, because it can hit anybody, even a 38-year-old healthy ex-professional athlete that takes care of himself and took all the precautions. It can get you to a point where it debilitated him.
Yeah, I mean, my God, if that doesn't tell you how this affects different people differently, then I don't know what does. And, you know, again, you know, we're talking about this season, and everyone is kind of I don't know that they're making light of it, but it's this idea, well, if someone gets it, they'll have 2 weeks in quarantine and then they'll be back. Like, we have no idea how this is going to work out. We've seen it work in different places, but we don't know how it's going to work in our country. And it is, it's just, you mentioned it early this morning, David. I mean, to see the surge of cases reach the point that it did yesterday. And, you know, it's completely all over the South. You know, there are people that live in some very difficult conditions in this country. While we're the richest country in the world, there are a lot of people that are in difficult situations, are on top of each other in different neighborhoods. And it is really cutting a swath through parts of this country, and it's terrifying. And,
well, 50,203 wow. cases yesterday. That's the new record, according to Johns Hopkins. That's saying pay attention. That's saying things aren't getting better. They're getting worse. And why are they getting worse? And I think they're getting worse because there's a lack of respect for the virus, or there's a lack of awareness for what's going on, and everybody's rushing back to try to achieve this, you know, new normalcy and to have it resemble what it used to be. And the fact of the matter is, it's not going to be like that for a long time. So you hear cases like Tommy's and you hope that it has a positive effect. And I'm curious to how, you know, it will affect the Cubs players themselves. I mean, the question is it more inspiring or frightening? And I think there's elements of both to that. And I think it'll affect different guys in different ways. But it was, both in our conversation and the one that he had on Zoom, I thought it was interesting that he pointed out the players that contacted or communicated with him as much as anything about the topic they asked about was the small details about what the family did and how it affected right. them and what they did to kind of deal with it, almost like anticipating what happens if it happens to me.
Yeah, it's really something. And you know, to your point, I, as you know, had a recent issue in my house that I got to take care of. And I've tried pricing it out a couple times. It's getting, you know, very expensive to try to fix what went awry. And I ended up yesterday in Home Depot, and I'm standing there and I'm eyeballing this stuff, and I'm trying to determine if there's any possibility that I could do some of this stuff myself, which is beyond human comprehension. Only a fool would think I could manage it. But, you know, when I was younger, I might've been able to. And this dude is walking down an aisle whistling, making noise. You know, you turn and you look, no mask. Everyone else in the store has a mask on except for this clown. And I am, you know, desperately looking around to find like a rake so I can hit him with it. And I ended up just like shaking my head. And you know, a lady that works there said to me, thanks for wearing a mask. Said to someone else, thanks for wearing, I guess that's the way you handle it, because I was talking to my wife about it. You don't want these confrontations. Like, if you've got some jerk walking through a store whistling without a mask on, he obviously is looking for some attention.
Yes.
And he's looking for someone to turf him out. And if you do that, now you got a confrontation, and then you got this guy yelling at you, and, you know, half the store has to find a rake. And again, I don't know why a rake. I was thinking more of a steel rake. I don't think I'd hit him with the prongs, but maybe the back part of it.
Plastic rake
could
do.
Crack him over the back.
Or you know what, Molly? If dealt with, if you're dealing with that again at the next home appliance store, ask for the duct tape. That'd be a safer option. And just kind of like put it across his lips just to shut him up. That'd be easier than a rake, a little less violent,
here,
right?
Yeah. You know, just get some like duct tape and just wrap it around his face. Here's a mask.
Was he baiting you? Was he trying to
It wasn't me. It was everyone. There were, you know, probably five or six people in the general area keeping distant and wearing masks and, you know, trying not to disturb each other. And, you know, but like me, I saw a couple of other people sort of contemplating things. You could tell they were like, oh, I'd love to be able to do this, but I can't, because that's how I felt. And the very fact that you're whistling like that, you know, so you turn, because it's like, who walks, you know, I mean, it'd be like a guy walking down an aisle singing a show tune. You'd be like, oh, I like that song. Who is that?
Yeah.
He's looking for attention.
Kind of inappropriate,
he's not wearing a mask,
too, right? It's kind of inappropriate.
Well, I don't want some guy whistling on me to begin with, but, you know, without a mask on in this kind of day and age, yeah, it was – I mean, again, he's spoiling for a fight. There's no shadow of a doubt. No one would make that big a fool of themselves unless they were looking to, you know, try to have a confrontation. So I just got out of there, and but I was like – I was shaking my head for half an hour. Like, what a fool. And what are you going to do? It's just, these are decisions that we're making in our lives that affect other people. So, you know, I get it. This guy's, you know, he doesn't believe in it and all, whatever the hell his issue is. But just go along with the program, pal. You know, there's clearly marked signs. They want you to come in, but they want you to wear a mask. Wear a mask. How hard is it?
Yeah, and when you look around what's going on across the country, and maybe in Illinois it's a little bit, I don't want to say misleading, but maybe they've been lulled into a falser sense of security because things have gone well in the state by and large in terms of the numbers decreasing. And Chicago, and you look at it compared to some other places around the country, you can be encouraged, but you can't be ignorant. And I think that's the point, is that when you hear Tommy Hotovy tell his story, and he lives in Chicago and what he endured, and then you see what, you know, the governor of California comes out again yesterday, and a lot of states have peeled back now and started to close up again because of the numbers that have grown at an alarming rate. You've got to respect that, and you've got to respect each other in a way that says that you're getting it because not enough people are getting it.
Yeah, and you know, it was funny because in the back of my mind, I thought as I was going through this process and thinking through my little issue, I thought, you know, God bless the people here. God bless the people of Chicago and the people. They get it. They understand. They're looking out for each other. And then here comes the whistler, the whistling gypsy.
Do me a favor, though. Okay. Do me a favor. Don't go for the rake if it happens again. Just please stay out of trouble.
I got out of there.
We don't need that. You know, somebody's, if he's whistling in aisle four, he knows somebody in aisle five has got a camera phone just waiting to record the first guy who's going to take the bait. So don't be that guy.
Yeah. No, I didn't hit him with the rake. It just went through my head. Where the hell's a rake? I don't know why a rake. I just thought, like, maybe that's something they'd have. A shovel would have worked just
oh,
as
gosh.
Well.
Oh, man.
But I didn't want to be violent or anything. No. I just wanted to give him a crack. Maybe I'd even hold the rake. You know, and again, I guess more of a hoe is what I was thinking of. But I just wanted to kind of maybe just kick him in the shins then. I don't know.
Okay.
You know what I did, David? Honestly, I gave the guy a dirty look before I left. So, I mean, I'm sure he's very unhappy.
I might put him in a wheelbarrow and kind of wheel him out, you know, like, okay, let's go out to the garden center, the garden exit, and, you know, throw some potting soil on top of him too. Maybe something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I someone texted in, God bless him, saying that, you know, everyone's affected differently. Maybe this was his bravado was showing that he's traumatized by it. But, you know, doesn't mean you have to traumatize everyone else. That's all. Suffer in silence, pal.
Yeah.
That's it. Don't be whistling your way through the world. And I honest to God, I was thinking to myself, you know, we in Chicago are pretty good. You know, we're doing a good job here. This is really fun stuff. And then, boom, here comes this guy. Ah, takes all types, David, in the world. And that's what scares me about baseball. It's what scares me about football. And we should talk about the abbreviated exhibition season. We'll do that next. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Everything the CDC has said, talked about 6 feet away, making sure you wear your mask and making sure that you stay inside the house. Guess what? Football, you have to breathe on people. You have to tackle people. You spit on people. Guys have cuts. Guys cough out there. You can't tell me if I have two or three kids at home or an elderly parent that lives with me that I'm going to be comfortable going out there practicing entire week, not knowing what the young guys, not knowing what the old guys are going to do after practice, going to restaurants and things like that. I'm not going to feel comfortable coming home to my family when I have kids and things like that. It's just, I don't know how we're going to have a season.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, the score. That is the voice of Rodney Harrison, Chicago guy made good, and he is on the PFTPM podcast with Mike Florio, where he made those remarks. And fascinating to hear a guy like Rodney who hit the way he did, and he's questioning whether or not they're going to have a season. And, you know, football, different animal, obviously, David, than other sports, and it is going to be difficult to get a season in the NFL, and the NFL seems to understand that you got to save as many bullets as you can in the chamber, so to speak. Boy, that was a rude comment. But they have halved the preseason already. They're down to two games, and for the Bears, that will mean playing at Denver and home against the San Francisco 49ers.
Valid concerns that he expresses. I think he speaks for a lot of people who wonder just how this is going to go down when you have all of these guidelines and all of these rules and a lot of states who are reimposing restrictions. And then we're now in the same month now in 4 weeks, you know, they're going to welcome players to training camp. One report yesterday said teams as early as July 19th will welcome rookies to their facilities. And I think that day by day, week by week, I don't know if it makes any sense. And I think you have to continue to plan as if you're going full steam ahead. If you're the NFL, I get that. I understand that. You also have to have contingencies in place and be aware of what's going on in the world around us. And that's why you see some trepidation on behalf of college football officials as well. We'll talk to Dan Wolkin from USA Today at 7:40 about some of those things and concerns being expressed by athletic directors and commissioners. And in the NFL, it's no different. So, yeah, I understand why you would be concerned. And I applaud the NFL for splitting the preseason in half because, number one, it reflects that they're paying attention because the NFL has not done a ton of things to be different or adjust to this because they've had the calendar on their side. But right, as we get closer to that, yeah, two games make sense, Molly. Let's keep it at two moving forward, even under good circumstances and healthy times.
Yeah, I totally agree with what you're saying because there is nothing quite as bad. I mean, let's be brutally honest about this because I don't want to portray it as anything other than a money grab. The reason you play four preseason games, and for a while now, it's been the case. Maybe it's always been the case. I don't know. But you're charged for those games, and they're on the season tickets, and you can get 10 games instead of 8 in the regular season. So you're trying to make sure you're optimizing the amount of money you can bring in. That's the only reason to play these games. They're often, especially that terrible fourth preseason game where teams have pretty much made their roster decisions and they're just trying to get through a game playing rolling guys out there that are never going to be able to you're ever going to see again. So, I mean, you feel sorry for the guys that would have had their moment, but let's be honest about it. That has really nothing to do with why you were playing those games. It's so much more about being able to charge the same price for every game. And it's in order to get your seasons, you got to take those preseason games. That's why they were reluctant to trim them. And I'm with you. I don't see any reason that you need more. You know, even with the Bears, even in the midst of a so-called quarterback battle, a quarterback competition, And it is so-called. I mean, I don't even know that it's a legitimate quarterback competition. You can determine that stuff in practice. I don't think the preseason, you know, you run your team out there, you get a you know, a couple quarters in with both these guys in two games, that's fair.
Sure.
Then you can help make a decision. But I don't think you base it on that. I mean, I get the idea. When the lights go on, what does a guy do? You know, when you're under fire and you're playing a team that – but teams don't even bother. The third preseason game is the only one where you might start to game plan a little bit.
Now the second one. Now maybe the second one. So let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this then. I said earlier that I think you've got eight quarters and you let each guy, Nick Foles and Mitch Trubisky, play four apiece. You start one, probably Mitch the first game, and you start Nick Foles the second game. And maybe that is an imbalance there because of the opponent and how they approach it. But do you think that, number one, Matt Nagy has said he will play his starters or plans to in the preseason more. Number one, do you think it will favor one guy or another? And number two, do you think that, you know, that we'll see more of the Bears regulars because of the compressed preseason?
Well, I would hope you'd see more of the regulars. I would hope that you would understand the need to, you know, have some sort of practice under your belt, to have some sort of live competition under your belt. You know, you talk to people and the idea of getting all thudded up, that term, you know, you need to get hit a few times so that you get into a game and you know the speed's going to be there. You know that you're not going to fumble the ball if you get hit. I mean, there is nothing wrong with preparing to play a football season. We see that happen less and less often and fewer teams. You know, you think back to how things were back in the day. Teams went at it, and they would go at it in shared practices. They would go at it in these preseason games. There was a level of preparation that you felt necessary to get through a season. Now it's really more about how can you spare yourself from injury. Now there are far too many teams that don't feel that they have the depth, you know, that have a hard time keeping their group together because of free agency and player movement, all of which is I have no problem with. I think it's better for the players, but it's not better for the football. And, you know, you worry, David, especially when you have issues on your offensive line, about guys being ready to go when you start. You worry about guys being ready to tackle at the start of a season. So I see value, I always have, in playing the game and preparing for the games you're going to play. But increasingly, these teams look completely different by the halfway point of the season.
Yes, and I think that, though, when we heard Rodney Harrison express those doubts about playing football and some of the questions surrounding the guidelines, I do have to wonder that these veterans on the Bears and around the league, you know, they get paid 17 times, right? The game checks divided by 17. That doesn't include the preseason.
Oh.
You know, they're not getting paid to go out there and get ready for a year. And if you're worried initially about injury during the preseason, now you're worried about exposure. Maybe you're one of these guys that looks at this like Rodney Harrison does, and you wonder how invested they will be into playing these meaningless games against the Broncos and against the 49ers. And that's another element that the coaching staffs are going to have to deal with, because, yeah, everything you said about getting ready, I agree with you. I always wondered, how do you get better at tackling without actually tackling? And I don't know, though, that there's going to be a lot of willing tacklers in preseason in August at Hallis Hall if you're the Chicago Bears, because of, number one, the fear of injury, but also the fear of exposure and where we are with this virus if it continues to grow at this rate. So I wonder about all of these things, which is why, boy, you know, you just hope that there's a breakthrough between now and then so we can actually talk about football instead of all these other things.
And frankly, David, you know, you hear the comment, and it's a rough comment to hear, the guy, he made a business decision on that play. That means he chose not to hit anyone or be hit. Or he went out of bounds there because he made a business decision. I'm going to keep myself preserved for the games that count. Well, you know, once you get into a regular season, they all count, and every play counts, and you don't want to be practicing your business decision making, right?
That's right. That's exactly right, which I think makes it even more challenging to figure out the evaluation process, makes it even more difficult to determine, you know, in the case of the Bears, a quarterback who stands out in those two games. So I wonder if it does favor ultimately Mitch Trubisky because of the known knowns. Yep. And the new guy maybe has a little bit more to offer perhaps in terms of talent, but you may not be able to see it because Mitch's familiarity. I don't know. We'll just have to wait and see. But I do think right now Mitch probably has a slight edge because the less you see, the more that maybe you're inclined to stick with what you know.
Yeah, I don't argue that, David, but I don't think that they brought Nick Foles in here to sit. I think eventually he will wind up playing. And I think it's inevitable, and it's just a question of when, in my opinion.
Yeah, probably when, not if. But you might have to wait for Mitch to play his way out of the lineup. We'll wait and see. That'll kind of be a story that unfolds and tells itself. But I do think you're probably right. Mitch will maybe be the starter, but I don't know that Nick Foles won't supplant him at some point. Probably, you know, sooner rather than later.
And I think one of the interesting storylines is the idea that while this certainly favors Mitch in terms of, you know, the previous relationships with the team, and when you don't have an opportunity to build those, that favors the guy that already has them. But I also believe that, you know, as much as we contemplate who could have been here and what move they could have made and did they err by not going with a different quarterback, the thing that Nick Foles has that's invaluable is previous experience in the system. And if we've learned anything over the first couple of years of Matt Nagy, it's that he is a system coach. He's going to coach his system, and that's the system he coaches, and he's not going to change it to defend a defense, to protect a quarterback for any reason whatsoever. And the fact that Nick Foles knows that scheme and has been in that scheme a couple different versions of it would indicate to me that that was a heady choice given the limited reps and the limited amount of time that you have as a team.
Mitch gets it.
Mitch gets it. Yeah, so does Nick, though. So Nick gets it as well and has gotten it before in this office. So that's a very valid point to keep making.
All right, we're going to bring Bruce in next. We'll talk to our buddy Bruce Levine. It's Chicago Sports Radio. It's Mully and Haw on the Score. Play ball!
Bruce Levine, 670, the Score baseball analyst.
It is all baseball.
32 years, baseball veteran reporter.
Bruce, I've known you for a number of years now.
Breaking stories faster than a cheetah can run. And as far as I know, cheetahs are speedy.
I went ahead and broke the story on Twitter, and then, of course, had to write a story on the website at 670thescore.com.
Twitter at MLB Bruce Levine.
By the way, I love you in The Wizard of Oz.
Bruce Levine.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Bruce Levine joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Bruce, good morning. How are you?
Morning, Bruce.
Good morning, guys. It's a dire situation for the White Sox and the Cardinals, isn't it? they will be playing in Iowa on August 13th, we hope. And we hope there'll be some fans involved. But where would you like to start today, guys?
Well, I want to talk about Tommy Hotovy, and I know that that you were involved in that and have spread out your thoughts on it. But I want to follow up on that Dyerville thing. Is it better? I guess put it this way: is the Field of Dreams game a punishment or a reward? Should the Cardinals be happy about it, or should they be kind of stung? And should the Cubs feel miffed or should they feel relieved?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. Leaving, you know, the comfort, if there is comfort in staying in your regional area, going to a place where they're building a ballpark and stands just for one game with you know, different sets of people around, whether there's fans or no fans, we don't know yet. They're building stands for 8,000 people there. So I think there would be a little bit of nervousness just because of the unknown, right, guys? I mean, you know, you're going to a place where you have no continuous medical, you know, watching of the pandemic or the facility. It's just a once Once and Out, you know, that's going to be on Fox. It's going to be a national broadcast. But I would say that I think the Cubs would be relieved not to go. The White Sox are, you know, they have, it's a home game for them. They have, you know, this was supposed to be a big deal. And now it's a questionable thing as to, A, whether it'll happen, and B, if it's something that players and staff will be looking forward to do.
I want to follow up on that a little bit, Bruce, because I don't know if you can answer this question, but we had the mayor of Dyersville on yesterday, Jim Heavens, and I did not get the sense after talking to him that there was a lot of optimism surrounding the fact that they would be able to pull this off. They have so many people that come to their small town for this event every year that I don't know if, number one, that would be something that they would feel like would be worth the effort if there's going to be a reduced crowd, and number two, how safe it would be to ask those 80,000 people to congregate in the same area under the circumstances. Does this announcement that the Cardinals are going to be the opponent for the White Sox affect whether or not you think it's more or less likely to happen?
I don't think so. It was just a fact that, you know, the teams were going to have to play in the regions, you know, and that was it. You know, coming out of the regions, schedule-wise or sense-wise, it didn't make any. So from that perspective, you know, it had to be someone from the Midwest. Now, I don't think the Cubs were ever a serious team to look at, because this is a White Sox home game. Why would they want to pair up with the Cubs? First of all, they're no longer partners on television, right? I mean, that now if they were still partners on television, there would be still a connection there.
Right.
Even though it's on Fox, they have no connection whatsoever. It's a White Sox home game. They want to be the centered team. Anytime you take the Cubs to Iowa, you know, Des Moines, you know, where they've had an affiliate there for a million years, even though the White Sox had it back in the 60s and 70s, it's a Cub home game in Iowa. So from that perspective, I don't think the Cubs were a serious team contender for that spot. It just was not going to happen.
Bruce, obviously we had a chance to talk to Tommy Hotovy yesterday, and then he did the Zoom afterward. And, you know, it was both of his interviews were, I thought, fascinating. And I thought, you know, very compelling, and certainly – you know, what a good dude, and God bless him for sharing his story. It was very moving.
We lose Bruce?
I'm here.
What did you think of Tommy?
I didn't hear the question, guys. I was out for a couple seconds, but the Tommy yesterday, after he was on with you guys and broke the news on the Score that he indeed had the COVID-19. He had a get-together with the media, the local Chicago media, and it was quite emotional to watch. Obviously, Tommy got very emotional in the situation and felt, you know, had to stop during a part of it. And, you know, Peter Chase, the media relations director, did a nice job of filling while Tommy was gathering his feelings. But just the emotion of having to live separately in your own house, guys, if you can imagine, you know, in your own house, not being able to see your kids or your wife, having to FaceTime with them, having food brought and liquids brought to your door. It was a jail sentence for Tommy for 30 days. So from that perspective, it was quite an emotional trip, and listening to it was quite eye-opening, wouldn't you say?
Oh, definitely. And Bruce, I wondered what you think. Obviously, players have to make their own decisions and have some choices. We talked about Yu Darvish being a little bit on the fence. We talked about other players having to decide for themselves. What effect, if any, will seeing a guy that is, you know, well known to them, a close friend of many of theirs, do you think that will be, okay, if he can do it, I can do it, or I'm going to know more because of what he went through? Or do you think it's going to frighten them to the point where, like, okay, I don't know if I'm up for this?
You know, again, it's a great question, because each person's probably going to react differently. I mean, the curiosity, number one, of, hey, you had it, what was it like? What was it like at its peak? What was the worst part? I mean, those are all things that individually you want to know for your own protection. You know, you're worried about not just being sick, but having a disease that could kill you, or, you know, affect and kill the people around you. So from all of that, I think just the curiosity and watching people come back from the disease and be ready to go. Tommy admitted he was only 80% that he felt like he was. And you could tell by looking at him that he was a little bit gaunt and that he would had lost a lot of weight. But, you know, is it the macho baseball sports guy that we admire in there? Tommy's just a beautiful guy, period. I mean, you guys know him because he's done an awful lot of stuff with you guys. He's just a wonderful human being. And on top of it, you know, he is soldiering on in a situation that maybe some people would say, you know what, I need to stay home. But, you know, the competitor in these guys is driving them to work as well as their responsibility to go to work.
I was fascinated to see a couple of the White Sox videos this morning describing the changes and showing the changes that they've made for their summer camp. And I know every team is going through this, and the players now report, but they report in two different shifts, if you will, right? So do we understand exactly how this is going to work? Do the so-called starters come in at one point? Or is it more breaking it up by position? How does hitting groups, how does this work, Bruce? Do you know yet?
Yeah, it's staggered. You know, it's staggered for at least a couple shifts a day, and that's just to keep people physically apart. It's going to be staggered on the field. Roger Bossert and the Cubs people who handle, you know, the fields are also, you know, built extra mounds. You know, Roger built a couple extra mounds down the outfield lines. They have the bullpen. So they are going to adhere to social distancing as much as they can. And I think they'll continue to wear, adhere to mask wearing when they're not working out. I don't see how it's possible to wear a mask and be competing full out. I might be proven wrong, but you know, I don't think that's a possibility. We'll see how that works out. But just separating people, keeping the facility cleaned, and you know, there'll be cleanings of the facility where the players work out and dress and have lockers. You know, I was told at one point that you know, even showering afterwards for some players would be not what they want to do there, that they would go straight from the ballparks home. So there is a lot of unknown still, but, you know, again, I think Major League Baseball and the Cubs and White Sox have taken proper precautions to separate people, separate times. It's going to be a long day at the ballpark for some of the coaches and the manager, you know, when you see these shifts breaking into 10, 12-hour days.
And, Bruce, today is testing resuming, beginning, and do you think that there's any more information about how we're going to find out if there are positive tests and who they might affect?
Well, Major League Baseball declared that the only way that you will know that a player has tested positive if he waves his HIPAA rights and says it's okay to report it. Otherwise, it's a violation of the person's rights as far as the HIPAA laws go, and therefore it won't be reported. So if a player X says, I don't want you to report this, he's not on the field, he's not on the IL, the COVID IL is not going to be reported, even though it is a separate IL, then it's conjecture is, did he not feel good today? Is he taking 2 days off because somebody in his family is not feeling well? So I think transparency hopefully will be something that that we get out of this. I know we'll get it from the teams and from the clubs, but it'll be up to the individual players or the personnel to allow people to know that they have the virus. Otherwise, it won't be reported. And again, conjecture, social media, what have you, it might be one of those situations.
Rob Manfred, Bruce, was on Dan Patrick's show yesterday, and he said that they never intended to have more than a 60-game season to begin with. What a shocking kind of admission on his part. If you think about the possibility of a grievance, right? I mean, doesn't that pretty much settle the case? I mean, I was stunned that he said that.
Unless he declares it a scientific reason, okay? In other words, the scientists, the medical people said that the reality of having more than 60 games was not there. But you're right, Mike. I mean, at one point, didn't they offer 72 games? I mean, wasn't that out there? So I think your premise is well taken. It's like, well, why would you offer 72 games if you thought you're only going to get 60 for sure? So I don't think it would work well if there is a grievance. I don't know if there will be a grievance at this point. It might be a waste of time because it's pretty clear within the framework of their agreement from March 26th that they allow the commissioner to implement any amount of games that he wanted to as long as they got paid in full.
It just makes you wonder if they were just posturing in order to see what the union would give up or not give up. You know what I mean? Like, you could make a serious argument that they were getting ready for the next negotiation if they knew it was never going to be more than 60 games.
That's not good faith.
Yeah, no. You're right. I'm sorry, David. What'd you say?
No, it's not good faith.
No, it's not good faith, but what's good faith about any of these negotiations between the baseball players and the ownership? It just hasn't been that relationship. It's been pretty much a detente for the last 25 years, but that's been over with for the last three when we've seen the off season, not last year, but the previous two, of people not signing free agents or similar offers going to players in a limited amount of years. So that's a fractured situation, and it's going to be a continued story that we're going to watch through this new CBA starting December of 2021.
Bruce, thanks a ton. We appreciate it as always. Great talking to
you. All right, guys. Have a great and safe and healthy day. Thanks.
Thank you, buddy. You too. And we're going to bring in John Heyman. We'll ask John Heyman to explain that one because I got to tell you, David, that, as you say, that's not good faith.
It's even dumber to admit it. Sorry.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.